tell somebody God's got a blessing with your name on it. If you would, if you would, if you could. I know you've been on your feet just for a few moments today, but simply to honor the house and the order of the house, if you would stand to your feet just for a moment, and maybe you've got a physical Bible out there, and hopefully you do. If not, then just grab your iPad, iPhone, Android, Atari, I don't know, whatever it is you got out there. Some of you got a little bit of something out there. As we begin the word today, Holy Spirit, I call upon you right now. Call upon your authority and your power. Call upon your direction. These are your people. Every man, every woman, every child in this building belong to you. Father God, I ask that you would speak to me and through me. Let something I say today eternally change someone's life for the better. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55 and 11. The Bible says, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. If you would, this morning, you all know how we do. If you can just touch 4.5 people and tell them, I need a word. I need a word. Just 4.5. I'm trying to make it easy here on Family and Friends Day. Celebrate Education Day. Some of y'all just touch 1.5, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the word anyway. I need a word. Yell out, I need a word. I need a word. I don't know about you, but I need a word. A word to set you free, church family. One word from God will change everything. I want to take you back just for a moment, if you would allow me. It was right around 1978 that there was a word that came to me from a wonderful woman that I'm not exactly sure where she is. You all can drop the picture. I'm not sure where she is right now, but it so impacted me. 1978, I'm 7 years old at that time. Oh, man, there it is right there. What a shot. Why y'all laughing? I was cold. Now, I was cold. That was the baddest Jerry Curl in the region now. I didn't say Youngstown. I said the region. That's crossing into Farrell, Hermitage, everywhere. That was the baddest Jerry Curl going. It was right around that time. I think I got another picture as well. I'm just showing that picture. Bang. Yeah, I'm killing them right there, boy. I don't know what happened to my grill. My front grill is out right there. But it was right around that time, church family. Educators, hear me when I say this. I hope you understand the impact of your words and what a difference your words can make. I wanted to bring that about because it was right around that time that literally the favorite teacher that I've ever had on the planet, a lady by the name of Mrs. Wiggins, my second grade teacher, I'm almost getting emotional thinking about it because I just remember that Mrs. Wiggins used to always write notes on my work, and she would write, my mom knows, she would write, Locke is the neatest kid I know. She would always write notes on my documents, on my paper, on my homework. She would write notes of encouragement. I'm trying to tell you that at 7 years old in 1978, I had no idea that some 39 years later, I would be standing in front of you telling you about the impact of a second grade teacher. Teachers, don't you ever discount the words that you say. Because young people go through stuff that they don't tell their parents about. And the reality is they oftentimes spend more time with you than they do at home. I didn't understand at that time how much those words meant to me, nor did I really know I needed a word. Sometimes you go through a few things in life and you realize how much that word, how many of you realize the word will carry you? Yeah, the word will take you, watch this, the word will take you places you can't go on your own. Yell out, I need a word. I need a word. I don't know about you. I want to take you here in this particular text here to John 1. Come to John 1 with me. We're going to start here right around verse 6. I'm going to read it from the NLT, New Living Translation, this morning. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light. Say the light. So that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Watch this. He came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. First big note I want you to take down right now. Rejection confirms your call. Yeah. You gotta be rejected. It simply cements the call of God on your life. I won't even ask you in this church this morning how many of you have dealt with rejection, even on the job. On this Celebrate Education Day, there's no question you deal with rejection. You feel oftentimes that what you're pouring in is not sticking. Yeah. I can tell you right now, more is sticking than what you see. Yeah. There's more getting on them than what you believe is getting on them. So you keep speaking in spite of, but Jesus, he came into a world, watch this, how major is this, you all? He came into a world that he created. And the very world he created rejected him. Ooh. As if Jesus could have said, I made you. You wouldn't have the sun, the stars, the moons, the mountains, the water, the dirt without me. But in humility, he received the I'm trying to go somewhere, everybody. I'm trying to say that you cannot fight rejection. You get into a place where you're being feeling rejected, and so oftentimes you try to get into this this argumentative piece about, do you know everything I've done for you? You wouldn't be this without me. If you wouldn't have had this without me, if I wouldn't have this, that, and the other, Jesus never got into any of that. He just understood that rejection was a part of his call. Watch this. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the word, say the word, say the word, became human and made his home among us. Ooh, that's so good. Ooh. So the word became human and made his home, say home, home, oikos, Greek, oikos, O-I-K-O-S, oikos, a family, lineage, nation. So when the Bible, when John tells us, so the word became human and made his home among us, so the word became flesh. Jesus became flesh at the right hand of the Father, came on the earth. He became human and made his home among us. Okay, he partnered, so he came here and gave us immediately family, lineage, inheritance, I got something in Jesus I can't get in nobody else. I got family. I've got lineage. I've got partnership. I've got a leader. I've got a teacher. How many of you know Jesus will teach you a few things? Amen. He is the, we had a rabbi with us. We know Jesus was affectionately called rabbi, teacher. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Say the word. Here we see Jesus as Logos. Writing notes, I want to be a teacher a bit here this morning in a fivefold. Logos, discourse. We see Jesus as the explanation, the discourse, the reason. When John is speaking about Jesus, he's talking about he is the reason. Right around Christmas time, we say what? He is the reason for the? Yeah, we talk about that. But he is the reason. He is the discourse. John explains who he is and why he has come into the world. Yeah, somebody say unity. There's nothing more beautiful. I can unequivocally say this, and I'm so honored and humbled to have it. There's nothing more beautiful than having a Sunday morning when you have a multiplicity of ethnic cultures coming together. There ain't nothing. Can y'all clap your hands for that? It was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, and it was true, that the 11 o'clock hour was the most segregated hour in our country. But thanks be unto God, there are many bodies of Christ. Come on, y'all, where there's black, there's white, there's Hispanic, there's Asian. It's beautiful. I absolutely love it. Luke 1, 28 through 38, I want to walk you through some passages of scripture here. Is this good, everybody? Luke 1, verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, her being Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Can a woman say, I'm blessed?
I'm blessed.
But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is so good. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? It is so amazing when the Lord tells you who you are and how you are established for greatness and how you've got favor. If you believe you got favor on your life, just lift your hands right there and just say, it's all right to shout out, I got favor. Let the person next to you know, I got favor on my life. Yeah, it's all right to recognize the fact that you've got favor. But here it is, Mary, she's talking about the limitations. She said, I don't know a man. You found favor, though. It's oftentimes, even within our school system, what happens is a child gets caught up in the limitations of his or her life. What you've got to recognize as an educator is the fact that you have the ability regardless of your circumstances. Yeah. Regardless of what the home life is, you can make it. You have the ability to learn. We have to walk in a day and an age and a life where we're speaking encouragement. We're speaking life. We're not speaking death. We're speaking abundance. I'm trying to tell, and this is a whole... I'm trying to tell every educator in here, you are necessary. We thank you. I know you serve in truly one of the most thankless professions in America. Let me say this with Joe in the building. You are underpaid. If I was a teacher, I would have stood up and said, yeah, I sure am. Give me a raise in the name of Jesus. Yeah. That's not a Joe thing. That's a federal thing. We can talk about that a little bit later. But you are, because you pour into lives that then become doctors, become lawyers. How you think all those people become that without a teacher? A doctor, a lawyer, a philanthropist, a philosopher, all of that happens from education. You don't become that without having an educator in your life. So how is it that you can be an educator and God use you to get somebody to go to an MIT, to go to a Stanford, to go to a Baylor, when you were the third grade teacher that was pouring into them? Somebody help me in this place. So now they get to a place where they're making $275,000 a year, and you're still making $42,000. Something's wrong with that pitch. I don't know. Maybe they need to take me to Congress, and I can get up there, and I can stand on a soapbox for all the teachers in the building. Amen. If you're a teacher in the building and you want a raise, say, I'll take that raise. And if you're a teacher in the building and you work in the Liberty School District, Joe told me you can talk to him 5 minutes after service and you're going to get a 20% raise. And I just heard from, okay, I'm just messing with y'all. I'm just messing. Joe going to have words with me afterward. Watch. I love you, Joe. I love you, man. How can this be when I don't know a man? You see, I got limitations in my life. So the angel hears Mary, and he says to her, he says, and the Holy Spirit, ooh, man, will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Oh, I like that. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So as you're dealing with all of this doubt, Mary, as you're feeling like that you're past the possibility of being pregnant supernaturally, I need to let you know that your cousin, your girl, the one who they once called barren, that girl is pregnant, and she's 6 months pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, she's just a few months from being due, because the angel is telling her that there is absolutely nothing impossible with God. If you believe that, put your hands together. Yeah, your maidservant. Yeah, matter of fact, the angel was telling Mary, not only is your girl pregnant, not only is your cousin Elizabeth pregnant, but what I have done, angel, on account of God's direction is that I have shifted the bloodline. Wait a minute. So this bloodline that you're a part of was once barren. But now the bloodline has become fruitful. Oh, my Lord. Some of us in here have barren bloodlines. Meaning what happens is that you've got bloodlines. You hear it all the time. Don't nobody graduate college in this family. Don't nobody have money in this family. Nobody becomes a doctor in this family. Everybody gets cancer by this age. Everybody gets sick by this age. Diabetes, sugar, high blood pressure, that runs in our family. Just accept your lot. But I know a man named Jesus who said, you ain't got to accept no sickness, no disease. You ain't got to accept nothing that lies beneath the throne of God. Yeah, what used to be, is it all right on Family and Friends Day if I just get a little happy? Yeah, I ain't got to accept none of that. I'm going to respect you, doctor, and I'm going to tell you, yep, diabetes runs in the family. I get that. High blood pressure, it does run in the family. I'm not living in denial. That is fact. Yep, my grandfather, yep, he passed from that. I get all of that. All I'm saying, doctor, respectfully, is that I don't receive that for me. That's all I'm saying. I love grandma, I love grandpa, I love my mama, my daddy, and I love my third cousin. But I am not accepting diabetes. I'm not accepting cancer. I'm not accepting, I'm going to graduate from high school. I'm going to graduate from college. I'm going to MIT. I got dreams. I got, yeah, you can capitulate to that mess if you want to. The devil is a liar. I don't have to accept that. I got teachers in here that I know, I won't even make you raise your hand. I got teachers in here that folk from the right and the left told you, you'll never become a teacher. Yeah, you'll never become a teacher. Why would you? No, that's not going to happen. Nobody in our family becomes a teacher. You're not going to become a family. You're not going to become a teacher. You got folk in here that are administrators, principals. See Keisha back there, principal. To God be the glory. When we first started working with Liberty Schools, Keisha was the assistant principal. And the Lord has now elevated her. Now she's the principal of the high school. Oh, tell me, she is a shining example. I don't make any bones about this. I don't even apologize about what I'm about to say. I believe she is the first African-American principal in the history. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right? She is the first African-American principal in the history of Liberty School. Wait a minute, y'all. That's major. That's major. Wait a minute. Okay. Okay, the Lord just told me something right now. I need everybody to go to three people and say, I'm about to make history. Go ahead. Go, somebody. I'm about to make history. I'm about to make history. God's about to do something in my life that hasn't been done before. God's about to promote me. God's about to take me to a place that I've never been. God's about to open a door that no man can close. God's about to elevate me. Folk are going to be jealous of me, but it's all to the good because God wants to make an example out of my life. Do I got 50 people in this place that'll say, I'll make history. Oh. Yeah. It's time to make history, you all. Yeah. I can't miss, and we can't miss together here, this powerful pregnant word here in Luke, the physician, when he says in verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Yeah. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. This is so good, everybody. Mary says, behold, the maidservant. She is in humility. There's brokenness on her life because what she is told is bigger than her. Ooh, Lord Jesus. The thing about it is that in some conditional way, Mary can still be a bit blown away, a bit perplexed, a bit confused, because truth be told, there are times when God will call something to be on your life and it blows you away. You're trying to figure, God, why would you want to use me? Do you know my past? Do you know the stuff I done been through? Do you know who I've been with and you want to use? Don't y'all look at me like that. I'm going to tell you right, I'll never forget June 1st of 2008. My pastor, Bishop Thomas, he called me and he said, Locke, can you be at my house in 20 minutes? I had never received a phone call like that from my pastor. He said, can you be at my house in 20 minutes? I said, sure, Dad. I called him my spiritual dad. Absolutely. I meet him at his house. We sit down on the porch, and he cuts right to the chase. He says, listen, you know we just planted that campus over in Liberty. It's only been over there for a few weeks. We've had a change of plans. And we believe, I've talked to the elders, Locke, and I believe that you're the man to go and pastor that church. I looked at this man like he was downright crazy. What in the world are you talking about? Pastor a church? Don't you know I'm about to dip, man? I'm about to leave and roll to Columbus. He said, listen, I'm not saying that you need to change all those plans. I'm just saying I believe I've heard from God. I looked at this man and I said, have you checked my resume? Do you know what I've been through? Do you know I've been divorced? Do you know I've had a child out of wedlock? Oh, I'm going to testify this morning. Do you know that my past is dirty as all get out? He said, Locke, I don't care. This is a new day. All of that is under the blood. It's time to step out. You got a call on your life, and it is undeniable, unsustainable, uncontrollable. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to. I was talking to the Holy Spirit. I said, I got educators with me today. I don't want to just jump in the crowd or something like that. But it's something about what Jeremiah said. He said, it's like fire shot up in my bones. I got my auntie right here. My auntie, that's my favorite aunt in the whole world. I got my auntie with me. Stand, sister, say standing auntie. I got my auntie with me, and I use my auntie. Y'all have heard me talk about my auntie before because I talk about how I was in my dirt. How I was in college. My mama know I was in college, man. I was doing all kinds of stuff. I wasn't robbing nobody. I wasn't knocking nobody over the head. I was getting my education, but Lord, I was into some stuff. I was a football player. I was smelling myself. I had a big old gold chain of number 30 on me right there, baby. I had two big hoop earrings in my ear. I told my mother when she was coming down for a game, I said, Ma, stop by Claire's. Pick up me a pair of earrings. She said, boy, I never thought I'd be buying earrings for my daughter and my son. But she brought them earrings anyway. See, I had some pride going on. I had some arrogance going on. I never forget coming home one particular weekend, and my aunt, she grabbed me to the side, and she grabbed my wrist, and she said, Locke, God's got a call on your life. Man, that thing shook me to my bones, and I'm thinking like, how in the world can God have a call on my life when I know what I was doing last night? But this woman was saying, I see into the future, man of God. I see that God has had a call on your life. You can't get away from the call. I didn't realize at 19 years old, I needed a word. I don't know who I'm talking to in this place. Maybe your life has been fine and dandy. Maybe you never made no mistakes. Maybe you actually think you deserve to be doing what you're doing. Tell me what you've done to deserve what you're doing. I don't care how many degrees you got. What I know is about grace. I know about mercy. I know about kindness. Let me trip you out real quick. The fact of the matter in here, and I love all the educators, all the professionals, all the business owners, but somebody say grace. The fact of the matter is that grace covered you. See, because you got a public you and you got a private you. Thank God that grace covered the private you. Because if you're like me, you still got some issues. I need you to go to two people and tell them, you know you still got issues. Why ain't some of y'all moving? Go to at least two more people and tell them, I know you still got issues. But if you'll yell with me and tell them, but grace, grace covered it all. That's why I'm standing here today. Because grace covered me, Roger. Grace covered it. When I couldn't keep myself, grace. my teachers, I'm a lot more dignified than what I'm showing right now. Something is in me, though. I think it's all these degrees in the room, all this education in the room. Because the one thing I know about Jesus, Jesus is about education. Yeah, he's about education. He's a humble servant. Y'all sit down. He's a humble servant. My Lord. There's something about that word, man. Something about being covered in the word. Thank you, Aunt Rita. Thank you for speaking that over my life. You didn't know it, but you were much like Grandma. You were much like Grandma. Grandma used to do that to me. I would come home from college, and my grandmother would have money in her hand. She would grab that money, and she would take me in the basement so nobody was around. She'd be like, come here. I'm thinking like, ain't nobody around, Grandma. Why you whispering? Come here, baby. She'd have a wad of money in her hand. She just get this money. She put that money in my hand. She's like, shh. Don't you tell nobody. I'm thinking, I ain't gonna tell nobody. I want this money to keep coming. I ain't telling nobody. You ain't got to worry about nothing, Grandma. I ain't telling nobody. God's going to use your life. She used to tell me that. God's going to use your life. It's just like when you're at the dirtiest place in life that God will give you a word through somebody. And he'll tell you how God wants to use your life. I needed a word. Everybody in here, you need a word. Some of you down and out, depressed, distraught. You need a word. Some of you, the bank account is full of money. It's full of money. But you still don't sleep. You still don't have no peace. You still don't have no rest. You thought money was the answer. You thought that was, some of you got all kinds of friends. Some of you popular as all get out. You got 5,000 plus Facebook friends that don't even like you. But they follow you though. You cannot find happiness in external things. True happiness comes from the one and only Father, and his name is Jesus. Somebody put those hands together and say his name is Jesus. I'm going to try to finish. Let me just give you one more scripture if I can. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 12. The Lord gave me this message. I knew you. Yeah. Which simply means I chose you and I appointed you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart. Another translation says, I sanctified you. Yeah, yeah. That's why those friends can't stay around you, because you sanctified. It's all right when people try to throw that religious rhetoric at you, like you acting like you all sanctified. I sure am sanctified. I'm sanctified and I'm dignified. Amen. That means that I'm set apart. That means that I just can't be around just anybody. That means that I got to have a certain measure of level of friendships. That means that I can't sit down and fellowship with everybody. Yeah, I can't allow that stuff to get in my spirit. Let me admonish, especially every Christian believer, every teacher that believes in God, what you should do on a daily basis. I'm not telling you to. I'm just kind of giving you some pastoral advice to pray before you go into that classroom every single day. God, come in this classroom right now. Let your presence come into this place before I teach a word, before these students come in. Because let me tell you, whether you got 10 students or 40 students, you got people coming from all walks of life. And so they're bringing everything that's happening at home. That's why you're wondering sometimes you walk into your classroom, especially as a believer, and it's like the spirit of confusion is up in there. Because you got all that mess that's happening at home. All this collision of activity and stuff. And you literally got to deal with that before you tell them 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. Ooh, there's too much there. There's too much there. I can't even stay there. Yeah. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. You're not just a byproduct of a parental relationship. You are a word spoken into existence by God. Okay, I'm not sure. Mike, just stand up. Mike, stand up. You got to understand what I'm saying. Mike is just, there's his parents right there. Come on, Mom and Dad Anderson, just stand up. Just stand up right there. So I just read you the word. So Mike is not just the byproduct of a parental relationship. Yeah. His biological parents right there, we know, we all grown in here. We understand they had Mike as a baby. That's his biological dad, his biological mother. But that is the carnal viewpoint. Yeah. He's a byproduct of that parental relationship. But he's a supernatural being that was spoken into existence before they got together. What I'm trying to tell you, God is so off the hook that you was coming no matter what. No matter who lineage you came through, no matter who womb you was coming through, you was coming. Because God says, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you even got in Mom and Dad Anderson, before you even got over there, Mike, Jesus said, I knew you. I had already ordained you. I had already spoken this day into existence before. Somebody yell, I'm a supernatural being in a natural body. That's why when all that stuff come your way and people are talking about you and saying ignorant stuff and saying foolish stuff, man, let that stuff bounce off of you like a beach ball. You a supernatural being. You get frustrated when you stay in your flesh. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's good. Yeah, but when you get out of your flesh, you understand that that stuff can't stick to me because I'm not a carnal being. I'm a supernatural being. And in the supernatural, I'm not that. So nothing that you call me can actually stick. You got so many people mad at you and jealous of you because you won't capitulate to that mess. They're mad at you because what they're saying about you ain't doing nothing to you. Ooh, Lord Jesus. They mad because you getting stronger as they getting weaker. They're talking about you, putting their mouth on you, but you getting stronger because they don't know you got a word. Oh, my God. They don't know you're doing what you do because you got a word. I need to speak to everybody in here who is believing God for a promotion in their life. Yeah. 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 All you need a word. All you need is a word. And what you need to know right now is that you are already promoted in the spirit. Yeah. There ain't a man walking this planet that can stop destiny and purpose from coming forth over your life. If you believe that, put your hands together. I promise you I'm going to finish right here. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people. Yeah, it's going to be some folk around you that's going to be hating on you. Yeah, Jeremiah, I've ordained you and I've called you. Now, don't get it twisted now. The Lord said, I called you, Jeremiah, as a prophet. He may not have called you a prophet, but yet you have been ordained for something. There's not a man or woman in this place that has been called into the earth that is just here just to be here. Everybody is called to do something. You are called to make a difference. You are not called to sit at home and play PlayStation. You are not called to just do some mess. You are called to change the world. If you believe you're a world changer, stand to your feet and sit back down. Don't be afraid of them folk. I'll be with you and I'll protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Be afraid what they talking about. Worry about what they saying about you. He told Jeremiah, I have spoken. If I said it, you sure enough can take it to the bank. Yeah. The Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my in your mouth. Today I appoint you. Then it gets real good. Stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. The battleground three, I'm finished right here. I got to give the battleground three, uproot and tear down, number one. Destroy and overthrow, number two. And build up and plant, number three. The Lord showed me this with a lot of our teachers. The fact of the matter is that you got a lot of students coming into your classrooms and a lot of stuff, you got to tear it down. A lot of this stuff that they're coming in, a lot of this stuff is just, a lot of this stuff is just soul ties. A lot of this stuff is just generational. I don't have enough time to unpack all of that. Just trust me on what I'm saying. A lot of what you're dealing with on a daily basis has nothing to do with you. It's not that the child doesn't want to be educated. It's that there's some stuff going on in his or her life that needs to be uprooted. It needs to be torn down. That's why he told Jeremiah, they're going to come against you, but don't worry. I've protected you. I have placed. Thou hast placed a hedge of protection. If you ever needed a hedge of protection around you, you sure enough need it now, because the world has gone right crazy. Now we're talking about teachers with guns in classes. Oh, you serious? I'm going to tell you who we need. His name is Jesus. We need more of Jesus in our classroom. We need in God we trust. Yeah, y'all done got started right now. Yeah, that's what we need. We need in God. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw. Yeah. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto. So it is an atmospheric problem. Yeah. Yeah. We have pushed God out. Yeah. Yeah. The one thing about God, he won't dwell where he's not wanted. Yeah, as a nation. Yeah, this is a nation thing. This ain't about Liberty School District. This ain't about this is the nation. As a nation, we need to change. Yeah, we need to stand for what is right, what is true, what is honorable, what is just. If my people, yeah, humble themselves. Yeah, it's about humility. Yeah, turn from their wicked way. Then our land is scarred. Yeah. Our land is, everybody stand to your feet, I'm finished. Our land is scarred. Lift your hands all over the building if you would. I'm finished. Yeah. Bless God. Wow. Finishing scripture there in Jeremiah. Was after they had this conversation, and you get to verse 12, and the Bible says, and the Lord said, that's right. After he was able to give the Lord exactly what he was visualizing, the Lord said to him, that's right, and it means that I'm watching, and I will certainly carry out all my plans. If God said it, he's not a man that he should, nor the son of man that he should. Has he not said it? And will he not do it? He will perform his word. Lift your hands right now. I want to minister to those. I want you to come quickly to the altar right now. You're just at a place right now. You've been rocked. Life has rocked you a little bit. Not a little bit, maybe a lot of it. You've been rocked. He said, you know what? I need a word. I just need a word. I need the healing comfort of the Lord. I need a word spoken over my life. Life has just hit me upside down, knocked me around, truth be told. There's many of you out there. Just come down to the altar right here. We just gonna pray with you. That's it. Just say excuse me. That's it. They come up from the top. Come on, just come quickly. Don't look around. They may not need what you need. It's not about who's right on your left or anything like that. Come on, they're coming. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on. This is about God. Come on, you just saying, you know what? I need a word. Life has hit me. I just need a word. I need to get back in place. I'm out of position right now. Yeah, I'm out of position. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure I'm in my call. Be honest. I'm not even sure I'm in my call. Yeah, I'm doing something. I'm just doing it, to be truth be told. But I'm not sure I'm actually doing what I've been called to do. Yeah. Make decent money. I'm able to take care of my family. If I'm single, I'm able to take care of my singleness. But I'm not so sure that this is what I've been called to do. Yeah. Because you'll find peace and comfort in your call. It'll never be about money. When you're walking in your call, it's never about money. That's why I got so many educators and teachers here, and they say, listen, I don't make a gazillion dollars, but I'm happy. Because God has been able to take care of me, protect me, take care of my needs, and I know I'm doing what I've been called to do. Amen, everybody. Those of you at the altar, just lift your hands right now. Honey, if you can just join me here, it's still coming. Come on up, daughter. Come on up. Just make as much room as possible. Father, I just thank you for these men and these women that are at this altar area right now, Lord. Father, we just pray right now that every hand is lifted right now. We just pray for the intimacy of relationship. Father God, we ask that you would just draw them unto you, not to man, Lord God, but to you, that you would go deeply and internally in their hearts and in their spirits, and that you would cause change to occur. Father, if there's a man or a woman who seems as though they're a million miles away from you, Lord, what's so good and so wonderful about you is that you will receive them right where they are. Yeah, you don't have to wait until you get cleaned up, until stuff changes in your life. He said, come as you are. Yeah, but you don't have to carry that yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden. Many of you have been laboring and you're heavy. There's a heaviness about you. You're a bit perplexed and a bit confused on some of the things that life has thrown you. But I believe that this is a moment right now that the Father is literally inculcating your spirits and your hearts, that God is doing something in your lives as you are surrendered to him right now. He's doing something in you that you cannot do on your own. Can I tell you something? Just be desperate and be open with God. If there are open areas in your life, if there is desperation in your life, just be honest with God. If there's brokenness, if there is hurt, if there is anger in your life, be honest with the Lord. God, I need you in my life right now. I'm still angry. I'm still hurt over what happened to me when I was a little girl. I'm still angry. I'm still upset about this man leaving me with these kids. I'm still angry. I'm still upset because I've not been able to actually arise as though I would. as though I thought I would. I'm not at the place in life that I thought. I'm still dealing with way too much. I got a good job, got a nice house, but I still got an emptiness inside of me. Yeah, this is that time. Father, they just need a word. They just need a word. They need a place of intimacy with you. That quiet time, that time just between you and them. Father, do it simply for your glory. Yeah. Just sing a couple of bars right quick. Well, just receive right there as you are. Yeah.
Let your glory fill this place.
Yes, 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 God. Yes.
Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle.
Yes, Lord. All the words, I want you to begin to pray with them. Begin to pray with them. There are many here who need salvation.
Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new.
You're not going to die before your time, God. You're not going to die before your time. The dreams and the visions that you have for your life are going to come to pass, says the Lord. Yeah. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know you're close to giving up. Don't give 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 up. I know you're close. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Shower down.
Shower down. I love what is happening within the body of Christ here and what the Lord is just doing at this altar area. We come together on this Sunday morning simply to celebrate who Jesus is and to ask by grace and favor that the Lord would do something in us that we are incapable of doing in ourselves. And when the Holy Spirit begins to orchestrate as he is right now, we just give him all the glory, praise, and honor that is due. I'm believing, God, that you will have experiences that go beyond, hear me, that you'll have experiences with God that go beyond your intellect, that go beyond your knowledge, your prowess for education, and your wisdom that you have in the natural. Praying that you just allow God to do stuff that only he can do. The Bible says even the wisdom of the greatest wisdom of man is like foolishness unto God. Father, we just thank you so much for what you've done here today. Thank you for the breakthrough power that is continuing to happen at this altar area. We ask that you would just continue to do what you have begun and started in each of us this morning. I want to thank you again, all of the educators here today, specifically from the Liberty School District, on behalf of Joe, Nora being here with us today. I truly trust and pray God did something wonderful in your life, and for all of you who are here on account of a family and or a friend, thank you so much for being here today. As I stated in the beginning, I'll say at the end, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. If you would, just one more time, put those hands together. That would be wonderful. Immediately following service, if you got just a few minutes, make your way over to the gymnasium. My wife and I are going to be right out there. We want to hug and meet as many of you as we can. But then make your way over to the gymnasium. Got some little food in there, and we just want to thank you again for being with us today. If you all know how we do it. If you all can just lift your hands and keep your eyes on me. If you can just hold up the door, Bob. Just hold up the door just for 1 second, just to honor the house. I want to speak the blessing over you, and that will be wonderful. Listen, don't close your eyes. We're not praying for you. This is speaking the blessing. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. Matter of fact, we bless your home, your jobs, your finances. We bless your health. Amen. As I said earlier, I believe no matter what has happened these first few months of 2018, I believe you're walking into your greatest season. Somebody say, it's my best season. You are among God's best people on the entire planet, and we bless you abundantly. Now, I tell you each and every week, God's only given us one life to live. What we do is we live at the very best that we can, right? Along the way, we're excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that we do what? Can you just hug on somebody before you leave here again? We'll meet you in the hallway area. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. See you Wednesday night. Bible study next Sunday.